B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Zach, you have an NFC Championship game week to prepare for, but I want to talk about Saturday night first. We were there for it. The game, I don't think either one of us thought it was going to be a close game, but I know I didn't expect that. What did you have to see?
I thought the Giants were going to try to muddy the game up a little more. I thought that they would try to make it a fourth quarter game. The first two drives, when you saw what the Eagles did offensively and defensively, it was pretty clear that the talent discrepancy that we knew going into the game, combined with the preparation from the coaching staff, with just the way the team was playing, it was going to be that type of night. So wasn't surprised by what I saw. Thought the Eagles were the better team. But from the perspective of answering the two biggest questions, is Jalen Hurts going to return to pre-injury form? How does Lane Johnson look? Those two things were answered emphatically, and it should give Eagles fans confidence right now.
Zach, when you look at what the Eagles did on Saturday night, is there anything that isn't sustainable going throughout the playoffs? Like, so many times you'll see a team win, and you'll see a guy with 150 receiving yards, or somebody ran for 200. You know, you'll see things that you don't know can be sustainable. To me, that was just a normal Eagles game on Saturday night. Did you see it as such?
I did, in terms of the way the Eagles played. Now, what is not sustainable is the defense from the 49ers is going to be much better. We know that to be the case, right? So that complicates what you're able to do. It complicates the amount of time you'll have in the pocket, and it complicates what you can do on the ground in the running game. And then the other thing is, you know, it's everything's matchup specific. When you look at what the Giants have at wide receiver and the way the Eagles were able to play that game, and it's just going to be totally different against San Francisco, in particular with the way Kyle Shanahan uses the middle of the field, with what they can do with George Kittle and with their run schemes. It's just a different team you're playing against. So I don't want to say just because they played that way on Saturday, they're going to play that way this Sunday. But in terms of what the Eagles do, that's sustainable because that's who they are.
I watched Brock Purdy running for his life last night against Dallas, and we know how the Eagles can pursue opposing quarterbacks. Did they do anything special to make Daniel Jones look terrible, or did Daniel Jones have a bad night?
Well, I think partly is Daniel Jones. He's an inconsistent quarterback, but I think a lot of it has to do with the way the Eagles could play in coverage against those wide receivers. The Eagles had such a mismatch with Blake Bradbury and then Gardner Johnson in the slot, okay, to begin with. And then so you can play coverage a certain way, and then they were just overpowering them on the line of scrimmage. And the other part, too, is because the Eagles got out to a lead, the Giants were forced to become one-dimensional. And I agree when you look at the data with what the Eagles do in terms of deferring when they win the coin toss. But I think was actually beneficial in that game when they had the ball first. They were able to go down and score because the Giants aren't really built to play from behind, and the Eagles are definitely built to play with a lead. So once that lead swells, it's just hard for the Giants to come back.
Zach, we knew about the injuries to look for going into the game. Coming out of the game, was there anything new on the injury report? I'm sure that Lane Johnson was asked about his groin, all of those things. But I also saw some stuff on A.J. Brown.
Yeah, I think A.J. Brown will be something to monitor. I wouldn't worry too much about it at this point. I just think it might have been him getting nicked up. We'll find out more today on that, but I haven't heard any reason for great concern at this point. And then Avante Maddox is the big injury to monitor. If he's able to come back, the Eagles have a good thing going actually with Gardner Johnson in the slot. I think these past two games, he's looked good in that area. But when you're talking about getting your best 11 on the field, if you can get Maddox out there, it makes a huge difference. So Maddox did not practice at all last week, and we'll see if he's out there on Wednesday. He is getting better, but I can't say he'll be in there for the championship game.
It is from The Athletic. Zach Berman joining us here on the Comcast Business Hotline. Zach, the other day when we talked to Adam Schefter, he said he wouldn't be surprised if both Eagles coordinators were back next year, which surprised me a little bit. What are you hearing about Jonathan Gannon, Shane Steichman, or Shane Spikeman, I should say, as was said the other night, and Shane Steichen's status?
So with Gannon, I would really pay attention to Houston there. What does Houston do? I think Gannon's really hot with the Texans. They liked him quite a bit last year. Obviously, his candidacy should be even better this year. With Steichen, I would pay attention to what Carolina does. At this point, something you need to monitor, and I'm sure you saw this in Atlanta, John, with Dan Quinn,
sure,
is are teams willing to wait if the Eagles keep advancing? Because teams aren't allowed to talk to Gannon or Steichen again until next week.
Next week, right.
Yes, if the Eagles go to the Super Bowl. Now, if the Eagles get knocked out, then obviously those guys are fair game at any point. But that's something to monitor because some teams are willing to wait. The Vikings did it last year with Kevin O'Connell. And some teams like to get that guy hired, get the staff together, start moving. So I think that could have something to do with it. But from what I understand, the big shoe to drop is if Sean Payton gets one of these jobs. And if Sean Payton gets one of these jobs, I think the seats will start to fill thereafter.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Zach, just want to know your thought process. The Giants are down 7-0. They have a 4th-and-8 at the Eagles' 35-yard line. And Brian Daboll decides to go for it. Did that tell you he thought he didn't have a chance? Did that tell you they wanted the ball control? What did you think when that was going on?
When that was going on, I thought he figured he needed points. And I agree with him there. I thought this was a game that the Giants were going to need to be aggressive. And especially when the Eagles went down and scored and you saw your defense wasn't going to shut the Eagles down, right? So you needed to play this game in the 20s, I was going to say, but you needed to score points. So I get that. Now, with that decision, I can't explain to you what he did in the fourth quarter. That was just completely head scratching. But I thought they were going to be aggressive because they either had to play with a lead or at least keep it close with Eagles. The Giants are not equipped to come from behind, and you saw that plain and clear.
Before last night's game, before you watched any of last night's game, did you think the Eagles matched up better versus Dallas or San Francisco? Because I know you, and I know you have done pre-work, probably getting prepared for facing either opponent. So did you have a preference as far as who you thought they matched up better against?
So I'm in the minority in that I actually thought the Cowboys were going to be the tougher matchup. Given that I Dak Prescott did not play like it last night, but more of a high level quarterback. They've seen Eagles twice this year, so they're familiar with the schemes, and they're really good with their pass rush. They've beaten Eagles already. They've played in Philly and they've won in Philly. So I thought that actually would have been a tougher matchup. Now, the 49ers are a really good team. And perhaps I'm a little blinded by where Brock Purdy was drafted, right? If he wasn't a 7th-round pick, would I view him differently? It's a fair question. They keep winning with him. But if you're talking about, you have one game to get to the Super Bowl, I think you would take a home game against the 7th-round rookie. Right, I mean that's
yes,
an inviting scenario. Even though that San Francisco defense is outstanding, they have good weapons on offense. They have a good line of scrimmage there, and And you know this well, Kyle Shanahan, the way he works the middle of the field, that's probably the weakness in the Eagles' defense.
I was thinking of texting him, but I don't think he's going to text back. I would guess not. Going in this week, it's going to be wild. It is going to be a wild. Chris Mortensen said before to me, he thinks he's the best offensive play designer and caller in the NFL. And I know that they run out of passing formations and pass out of running formations more than any team in the league, which is very, it's going to be a big, busy week for Jonathan Gannon.
Yeah, and you know, I spoke earlier about the way the Eagles corners played against the Giants. When you play against the Niners, the guys who really need to play well are those linebackers, you know, TJ Edwards, Kaiser White, Marcus Epps at safety. I keep saying he's going to challenge the middle of the field, but he is. I was on this show with you guys back in November, December, where I said where the Eagles are vulnerable on defense is the middle of the field. So from a matchup perspective, that's what makes this game in particular tough. You know, you are facing a rookie quarterback, and you know the Eagles lead the league in sacks. They can really get after you. They can make it difficult. But there are vulnerabilities in every defense, and I think San Francisco is really going to try to exploit those vulnerabilities, and they're equipped to do so.
Zach, well, you talked about how good the corners were and what they did to Daniel Jones and all. Did Jonathan Gannon do a vastly different job or make a lot of changes defensively on Saturday night, or was it a case of them just maybe playing the middle of the field a little bit better?
I don't think dramatic differences. I thought he was able to play tighter because of the mismatch there, because of those Giants receivers. You're not as worried about the Giants beating you over the top. So they did play tighter in coverage, and then they were able to play with a lead, so that certainly helped. But I just thought, you know, Gannon had a really good game plan, a really good scheme. I give Gannon credit there, but I thought the talent disparity was the big difference there. That was more personnel related. Like, the Eagles should beat up that Giants offense because the Eagles defense is better than that Giants offense. But as far as what Gannon did, they did play a little tighter on the outside. They were out of structure a little bit more, but I thought that it was just a good game all around.
So, Zach, Bob says that beat writers get, what, 10 complimentary tickets to the NFC title game or something? Have you dulled yours out yet?
You know, it's the biggest misconception of this guy.
Yeah, right.
Is that people think you get tickets. No, I'm lucky they let me in sometimes.
Yeah, it's good. Well, it'll be a big one all week long. We're going to be following your coverage all week. Get the Athletic, get Zach Berman, and thanks for joining us, Zach. We appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you. Look forward to next week.
There it
thanks,
is.
Zach.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.